You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Talking about things that we do, I don't want to get into the dogmas, like mentioned at lunchtime, but just general things with web project management, kind of go through this whole thing. Who here is actually, is there anyone from Canada other than Jameis, who I drove here with? Oh, look at that. So somebody might know what Waterloo is. We don't advertise in the States much, so. For those who don't really know, this is Waterloo, and actually this is 2006. Now there's a building here, here, here. RIM's done some stuff here. All your BlackBerries come from here. The university itself is here. Actually, it's true. All BlackBerries are made in Waterloo, or the region anyway. And that's our research and technology park, and there's all kinds of neat stuff there, and a lake that really kind of smells in the summertime. And but that's the university. I actually work down in this little spot down here, which is the Velocity Residence. It's a residence for entrepreneurs. But before that, I worked in a special projects group building software for a co-op, which actually is in this building. We have an entire building dedicated to cooperative education. And we did a lot of project management, trial and error, every 4 months cycling through students. So that's where a lot of this comes from. But to give you another idea, this is how far we drove. That's the bottom of two great lakes. We skirted under. And we started over here. And Toronto's over there, which is how everybody in the U.S. references Canada. So we're Toronto, and that's, yeah. And it was Jameis back over there. He was presenting tomorrow afternoon that we drove, and it was really good till we hit Chicago. We made good time. Anyway, the other one I presented in Cornell, and that was a much better drive. It's nicer. In upstate New York's not as boring as going through Michigan. Lots of McDonald's, though. Just all right, so project. Here's your great definition. Project is a temporary endeavor undertaken to create a unique product, service, or result. And that's from the project management Bible. And that's a great definition. When we talk about web projects, you can build a few web pages. You're developing a simple web app, collect student information, which is pretty common. Twitter, Facebook, Ning, or whatever, that is a web project. You're trying to put something out there. You've got a goal. You've got an idea of what you're going to do. Extensive content management systems, that's a huge web project. And the common topic around here right now is WordPress. That would be a little web project. But they generally feel a bit like this. Especially content management systems. Everybody in here gone through one of those? You got the chickens and the... This is actually engineers on our campus celebrating the fact that they actually get to graduate. And they do this. It's, yeah, engineers. But in higher education, projects are a bit different. They're ongoing with many false starts, chronic scope creep, governed by committees, and success is not often tangible. And that's really what we deal with. I think everyone in this room's dealt with this, this feeling all the time. And one thing I should note is that before this, before I did Special Projects Group, I was the web communications manager for the university. So I had the homepage and all the politics that went along with that. So I'm very familiar with never having tangible results on our projects. And really, we get a lot of chaos. We do a project in higher ed. We get developers that come in sometime. We don't know when. Designers that rarely answer email. And when they do, you can actually read the emotion in it, in the snarky email stuff. Not to stereotype designers. Developers are sometimes worse. Actually, they're usually worse. Department wants to see a term pedagogy, something aimed at parents. I hate that term. Because there's no way any parent knows what that means. I don't know if anybody other than the people in the learning technology groups actually know what that means, but it's just, you could just say education. Committees, That is just chaos with usually three-hour meetings and never-ending change requests. You always think you know what you're doing. Somebody wants something else. So what can you do to do a lot of this stuff? Software engineering's been doing this for quite some time. And there's a really easy process. And we've heard, I mean, how many people have heard waterfall, agile? Waterfall, anybody hear a waterfall methodology? So not a lot of software engineers in the room. Waterfall was pretty much the way everything was made. And it's hit a milestone, go to the next one, go to the next one, go to the next one. Just kind of keep going. And then agile came along, and now it's a bit crazy and dogmatic. But really, I mean, what we're talking about is you pick a dev strategy. There are a lot of them out there. It depends on the project. But you need to understand what you're doing. Version control, number one recommendation for anything that has to do with anything with code, version control. And with content, you know what? If you're writing content, you're putting it on the web somewhere, and you're going to rely on Facebook, who deleted somebody's page. Are they here? No, they're not here. But things go missing. Back it up. Keep versions. Issue tracking. Really good thing to say, I told you so. These three things are very, like software engineers do all of these things. They have strategies, they use version control, they do issue tracking. One thing we don't do in higher ed, engineers won't take this on, is where do you start? You start with project definition, and you start, I call them memorandum of agreements, but I was president of the staff association at the university, so I get kind of into those words. But essentially, the committee meets, you sit down, you say, what are we going to achieve? In that, you define the goals, the objectives, and or the outcomes. Because sometimes people get objectives and outcomes mixed up, it's okay, it's not a big deal. But what are you trying to do? And not get into the very simple discussion of, oh, we're going to put video up, oh, that's YouTube. Oh, no, that's something, don't get into that discussion yet. Get into you're going to put video up. Get into things like, I want to get 2,000 people to see this. I want 30 comments on it. They don't have to be realistic goals. You don't have to have realistic outcomes on this. You don't have to have stuff that you think is realistic, because it's going to take you a while to learn this stuff. But set something. Set something to mark to measure yourself against, and something that you can go back to and improve upon later. And get everyone to sign it. So everybody, this could be a long meeting, but it's really important. Has anybody in the room actually done anything like this? Yeah, like this though, where your goals, outcomes, everything like that, and everybody signs it, and it works.
So far,
so far,
so far.
Yeah, how long have you been doing it? Yeah, it's a new thing, and it works, though. It really does. But it can't stand alone. When it gets to this thing, I work in a residence. I run a residence at a university that's focused on entrepreneurship in startups. We run 70 students through this whole thing. Big thing we tell the students is about building products and services. But essentially, it translates over to a lot of the stuff that we do in higher ed, though. And we don't focus on that. We're delivering a product. So to get there, what's the process? And that was at lunch, there was a talk about all the different process and that type of thing. But you need to deliver something, and you need to end it and move on. And that's a really important thing. I'm not going to go into this right now, but this is a process. And this is to get us to a point of where we start with milestones, we have responsibilities, and then things go public. And how we got to this process is kind of what I'll go into a bit more of that. When we're looking at this stuff, the triple constraint really, if anybody's heard anything about project management, scope, time, cost. That's your big thing. I mean, these are all three things you got to worry about with a project. Essentially, what am I building? How long will it take? How much will it cost to develop? And it costs to develop things. It doesn't, I mean, one thing higher ed's chronic at is staff time's free. And it's really not. And it gets really bad when you go higher up into the management structure of the universities, and you have people that are paid a lot of money and they're sitting in committee meetings all day, that costs a lot of money. But we don't look at it that way. We don't look at it as resources. It's a bit of a thing that if you're not in a position of influence, you might get scoffed by people above you. But if you start doing it, you start showing it. There's a lot of value in that in terms of saying, you know, it's this many hours to produce this and might not be valuable today, but 2 years from now, you've got a lot of projects with a lot of examples. But it takes, that's a culture thing, I think. But it's a good thing to think about. But on that first point, I mean, what is the, how do you define what you're doing? Ideal world, project sponsor asks for something that needs to be built. So, I mean, very specific. I need a blog up, something like that. You meet with a committee, you do your memorandum of agreement, you get a scope and a timeline set out. When do you want this done? You sketch out the application, you call in resources that you need. You don't call in the resources up there and then figure all that other stuff out. And you develop the application, get feedback, tweak, done. So they're just a typical dev process in that. And I know, I mean, we get, I would like a website that looks like brown. next week would be perfect. Oh, and can we have video? And live chat. People actually like that. And we want social media. That's my favorite one because nobody really. But we want it, and we'd like that, and that's the way it works. And knowledge, I mean, this is what we deal with, but it still goes back to that other, I mean, the key points of what you're trying to do. When we get into our resources, and this is something I don't think, I don't even know if it's possible in a lot of higher ed, is you actually know what skills people have and if they're available for the project. I don't know how many universities have really big HR departments, but I know Waterloo's is relatively very small. Knowing what skills people have within a management culture, within the structure, there's usually two or three different groups that have people working together. People claim to have skills. There's a lot of, I'm really good at Ajax. What's jQuery? That kind of stuff. That happens. But knowing how much time they have and getting people to be honest about that is also not easy. I'm bad at that because I'm now past president of the staff association. I never know how much time I have because one committee meeting flares up and I'm off talking policy for the next 3 weeks. But being honest about how much time people have within a normal workday. Is there a line of communication between you and your resources, even when not working together at the same place? Communication strategy. We're going to talk every day. We're going to email with this. I expect responses within this amount of time. Be upfront about what you expect, and then you won't have an email unanswered for 3 weeks that was kind of critical, and you assumed it was getting done, and it didn't because the spam filter caught it or something like that. Because if you have the timelines, you can always follow up and say, well, you didn't get me. You didn't get back to me. What's going on? They might have legitimately lost it. Or have been at work for 60 hours and don't really read email because it was a bad week. But that goes to identifying your risks. What would cause a project to be delayed or fail? And usually it's the provost. but, I mean, really, I mean, what can cause it to delay or fail? There's all kinds of things that can come on that. IT, communications, marketing, the content people are arguing about what font to use. If you're paying attention to Waterloo's branding initiative, it might be they put lasers on a W. And if you haven't seen that, don't worry about it. It didn't happen. What will you do about them? Something happens. What are you going to do? Set a priority. The network goes down. A server breaks. We don't have any money to replace it. How do we deal with that? It might never happen, but just have something. It doesn't have to. It can be superficial, but just something to at least say that you're figuring out something bad could happen. Stuff like if content doesn't come from Joe over in marketing. Who's the backup for that content? Somebody gets swine flu. Who's going to do their presentation? There's a bunch of stuff like that happens. It's really easy to do a little chart that identifies these risks. And how much will it cost? Very hard thing to do. Time and money. Easy estimate, somebody's salary, break it down to hours. I don't know about at your schools. I know at Waterloo you can guesstimate people's salary within 20% based on what's published online. That's good enough because you're going to add 25% for overhead. And then you've got an hourly rate for that person. You can guess how much money you're going to spend on this project. Nobody might care immediately, but it's amazing how when you get new administrators from the outside world, the real world, they actually care about this stuff, and they're interested to see it. They may not be able to do anything about it, but they want to know what certain things cost. And you don't even get into the emotional costs. You're just talking straight cost there. So we've done all that kind of stuff. Now we've got our timelines. We know what you're going to do. We need to break down our project. This actually leads into a more agile thing. But I mean, you define your requirements on any web project. You do development. You do user testing. Most of you do user testing now. Everybody does user testing, right? You do user testing. You do some sort of public beta because it's really trendy. I don't even know if it's trendy anymore. It's just expected. And you fix stuff, and then you have it done. Although if you're doing all that in a week, it's kind of hard to do. But something like that usually happens. But if you break it down, like this is the larger one. And that can happen over we don't know how much time. But if we break it down into 2 weeks, what are we going to do in terms of identifying content and doing these things? We have an original idea. We do wireframes. We have client meetings, more wireframes, client meetings. This actually, I did a lot of this within a week, going back and forth between the co-op department and my project team, going back and forth and kind of tweaking wireframes right in front of them. But you break it down, you know what you're going to do this week. It works real easy. And what comes out of that, though, is you're always doing other stuff, right? So that part of it is your critical path. It's the stuff you have to get done this week, or you think you have to get done this week, or over the next 2 weeks. And these other things always happen, though, when you do this stuff. So how do you manage this stuff? Like, you're not going to be very good right away. It's really hard to estimate your time. In a special projects group, and this is back in 07, we started off with these type of things. This was my week plan. I did this on Monday. I said my critical path was doing a demo, doing some thinking, which is the nice thing about my job, I could think. Didn't really happen, though. And do some documentation in terms of what we're doing, why we're doing it, how it fits, what it fits with workflows that we're getting out of the staff and co-op. What I had planned to do each day is there, and it was a crazy week because we were doing a demo that week, trying to show it to the IT department because we were kind of not in IT, we're a separate project. So there's a lot of, you know, we got to get ready for this demo stuff. So I put in a little bit of time to relax. And then at the end of the week, I went back and reflected on the week. And it doesn't necessarily match up with what I'm doing. This was November 07. That was probably just a month into actually doing this. Got better as time went on. You're generally, it felt superficial at first, but after a while, it started to make a lot of sense in terms of, okay, well, this is more realistic. And what ended up happening is I had less things on this side because I was being more realistic about what I could do in a week rather than do that kind of stuff. And I even have things like flu shot. I was getting a flu shot. That's a risk. That can take me out for a week if I end up getting sick from it. Not likely, but it's a risk. And then I also had another one. I had an exec meeting with a staff association, which is 2.5 hours. That's a pretty ridiculous thing. But that happens in a day, right? For the students, we had 9 co-op students doing development. For the students, we tried this one out for a bit. They had a task group, the name of what they're actually working on, broken down into morning and afternoon chunks of what they're going to develop. What work's going to be done? What's the intention? The work to be done and the intention is usually two different things. You know what you need to do, but I know what I want to do, and they might not match up. There's a few other follow-ups. At the end of the week, they went back, and they had a kind of success rate in terms of what they were doing. And they actually got really good at that kind of stuff for a while. But it didn't work as well as we thought for a lot of this stuff. A couple of the guys we brought onto the project team, they had a lot of experience with our big bad friend, Agile. And if you look at the definition of Agile, moving quickly and lightly, we're in higher ed, that doesn't happen. But you can, I'm saying you can. But Agile to me, I mean, I was doing web development for a long time and working with different project groups, working with different stuff. To me, it seemed a little dogmatic, which people followed it and just, are we really going to do this? Are we going to do things like have scrums? This is what I think of when I have a scrum. I'm watching rugby. But apparently, that's what it is. But really, I mean, when we look at it, Agile is really just getting things out there on the wall for everybody to see. Agile itself, if you followed it really religiously, there's a lot of terminology you got to use, like Scrum Master and stuff like that. But if you break it apart and look at the stuff that you can kind of do baby steps. This right here, it's called a Kanban wall. I was informed. This one's at PostRank, but the guy who took this picture corrected me when I said it's a wall of sticky notes. I prefer that terminology. It's a wall of sticky notes. But this PostRank 8RSS, I don't know if you've heard of them. They're a startup in Waterloo. Switch their name to PostRank. This is how they plan out all their development. They've got it broken down by day. They've got a... Actually, he's more of an agile guy. He's actually a certified Scrum Master. So he's got a whole bunch of other stuff you can't see in terms of backlogs and this kind of stuff. That's pretty scary to get into. Something a little more familiar. I grabbed this one off Flickr. This is someone's just personal little wall. This works too. You got your backlog, you know, something you know needs to get done, but it's not a priority. Cool, warm, hot in terms of where you are in the process. Makes sense to this person. That's something like that can work. What you're working on, what's been done. Very visual interpretation of what you're working on. And this is for an individual. His little explanation had this is he's something he did for himself. But if you're in a team of two or more or working on other things, you can see how helpful this is when you can see what's going on, what's important, somebody might need help. What's getting done, that visual is very helpful. And you don't have to have scrums and sprints and all other really fun terminology. You can just have a wall with sticky notes. Or, as my son likes to do, take the baloney and sort it out on the wall. That's not my fault. I'm actually a Detroit fan. But that's what it feels like anyway. And our baloney wall was this. This is what we used in the special projects group. Our sprint was 2 weeks. So we did use some of the terminology because we had a guy who liked that stuff. Made him feel good. The in-progress stuff is here. All the students, all the coders are there. The GUI folks are over there. And then over that side was a whole bunch of tasks. All the stuff that had to get done. You can see some of them are empty because I don't know where they were that week, that day. We actually do this stuff on the day. We would meet every morning. We tried 9. It doesn't work well with co-op students. Then we tried 10. Better. And they would stand in the room. 5 minutes. What are you working on? What'd you finish? What are you going to take on today? If you finish, it goes over to the day you finished it. And off you go. Nice visual in terms of what's going on. And we were in the co-op building at the university, which is tons of offices all set up for interviews, so the doors are always shut, so you don't get to talk that much. So it was nice to have that every day to figure out what everybody's doing and where people need help and what the priorities are. And this really did, I mean, we took on kind of a very light, agile process. And how we did it, we broke everything down into sprints, and then each day's got authentication system, user can log in, a user can define permissions, and then bug fixes, because we had a demo, so we're always fixing bugs. And as you go along your sprint, you get the next sprint, we're doing feedback, buttons need to be blue, tables need to have sorting, These are all nice little one-off things. They all kind of work. Integrate Google Maps API. A little optimistic to say that's one day, especially if you're in a .NET project. But we said it was a day. We figured it would take a day to do it for somebody. But you break it down into what we can do today, what we can do that, and you adjust. And that's a general process that seemed to work well for us, but it was baby steps getting into there. The whole thing, though, in a lot of this thing, is you need to get involved in what you're doing. It takes, at first, 2 hours out of your day, I'll be honest. If you're good at it, it can take you 15 minutes, but it can take up to 2 hours to really keep on top of this stuff at first until you get really good at it. You get the level of documentation built up, and then you can scale back what you're maintaining, and it gets a bit lower. But Basecamp, Excel, or a Word document works. Who's familiar with Basecamp? Everybody's from you all work on the web. You know Basecamp, 37 Signals. Talking about dogma. works, though. But, yeah, their blog annoys me. You break down the project for the sponsor of the project and you. Setting expectations, working with clients. Being honest. I think everybody's got that need to please once in a while, and if they're asked something that's really cool, they might say, yeah, it can be done in a month. And you know in the back of your head it's 3 months. You know something's going to happen. You know it's a big project. You know there's risks, but you're not going to tell them. And if you do nothing else, just being able to do that and let the sponsor know and be honest with them, very important. Provide time estimates for each phase. Set milestones. I mean, I know this is going to be done next week. And this is what we're going to do by this point. This is what we're going to do by that point. They don't have to be set in stone. You can move them, even though they're called milestones. But you can move them. You can always adjust to what you're doing. Some things will get done faster. Some things will get done slower. As you do it, you get better at it. You follow up with daily, weekly updates on progress. Senior folks like that. I don't think they read their email, but they actually like that to think that you're sending them one that says what's going on. Some of them do read it religiously, and they'll call you and take more time out of your day in terms of talking about it. But it is, it's really good, especially if things get pushed back, and even if things are going ahead, to give them a heads up. We see this as, we were a bit slow today, and we're doing a bit slow tomorrow. We might have to push that milestone back. We'll let you know tomorrow. And if they know that email's coming tomorrow, they know an update's coming, it relaxes everyone. And really boils down to share information. I mean, you really being communicative within your group, within everyone, it's really important. I'm not going to say the project management software. There's other stuff like Microsoft Project, OmniPlan for the Mac users, which I love. But I really hate Gantt charts. But if you like Gantt charts, that's good. And Basecamp, really. And if you really want to, that's all the stuff listed on Wikipedia for project management. And I'm certain there's some hidden message in that pattern. But there's so much out there. Active Collab, really cheap one, works online. There's so much out there. You could just drive yourself crazy. Start with Excel. Start with Word. Start simple. Then figure out what you're going to need for software. But finally, my two final things are version control. Who uses it in here uses version control? That's pretty good. No, that's okay. You were out last night too. We're all a bit slow. Actually, I think we left you at the bar. version control, for those who haven't had a chance, this is typical web workflow if you don't have content management system. You work on it, you get a document, you work on it, goes to web server, everybody sees it. You stick in version control, and you don't go to the web server anymore, version control does. You publish something there. If you get really tricky, then you could do stuff like this, where you've got testing servers, staging servers, and then you go out to the public, and you can push out to that. Version control enables that. You don't need it to do that. But the nice thing is, when you have a big oops, you can roll it back. And there's lots of big oops in web development. Especially with public documents. Somebody always gets something, they approve, it's content, it goes out there, and it's totally inappropriate. You have to roll it back. You can roll it back really fast with version control. It's my favorite thing. Version control software that's out there, GitHub, which is really trendy and popular with the Linux kids. Subversion, which is now the old one. But it's Dreamweaver supports Subversion. I mean, it's pretty much a standard. Team Foundation Server, which I had the lovely experience of using for 2 years. It works. CVS, which is the really old one now. Anybody did any coding in university in the 90s, use CVS. They should have used CVS if their profs actually use it, but generally CVS is there. And Google Code's another, I think it's basically a Subversion repository, but Google Code's great for when you're sharing your projects and you're doing stuff like that. But even if you have a closed project within your group and you want controlled access, just a nice place to put things, and you can do a few other little things in there. The other bit is track the project. All those other little bits when you're doing milestones and stuff like that, tracking the project and actually having it tracked, using issue tracking software, helps do all those other things later. You can grab reports and generate those type of things. Do people in here use issue tracking software? See, that's funny. You have version control, but not issue tracking. They're almost built into the same systems a lot of the time. Because every time you commit code, you got to put a little comment, something to happen. I know. You get like a comment that's just white space. But that's why you get issue tracking software and make people do that. It gets a little better. Within the issue tracking, really the document milestones, you can track conversations, changes, rationale. That's really good when somebody says, I didn't say that. You got it right there. Right, you said we couldn't do this because of blah, right there in the system. But the other bit is if somebody's sick, you can also go back into that system. If somebody's gone, somebody switches jobs, you can go back into that system and find out what the heck they were thinking, hopefully. Generally, maybe. You can generate reports, which are really good when you send the daily emails. I was doing that for a few weeks because we had the head of co-op who wanted to know bug progress. Which was pretty, she didn't want to know after a while because we kept getting more bugs. We're solving lots, but we kept finding more. But she appreciated the effort. But it also helps you control your scope. Things like, oh, this would be a really cool idea too. And it's like, yes, it is. We'll defer it. You just drop it in the system. There it goes. It really helps with that. And this is like this was a report out of Bugzilla. We had Team Foundation Server. You can do issue tracking in that. We didn't use it because it's way too complicated. And it was really hard to use, so we would use Bugzilla. And this is just a picture of it one day. We started off with 100 bugs. We were at 806 in the system. The deferred is a nice popular thing to do when you know something's going to come. Closed bugs are fixed ones. We have resolved ones that aren't confirmed. We had a bunch of status. And I know a lot of people say that... Well, you've got all these different words to explain what's going on, but these help you. It ends up being internal team terminology, and this worked for us. You can simplify and just say fixed or not fixed. It really doesn't matter. But it's good to see these totals because you see progress, and it's really important when you're doing any project. This is this is the number one tool to document your progress. Celebrate your success. Don't worry about the failures. I mean, this helps you with that. Issue tracking software out there, Bugzilla, Track, that's integrated with Subversion. Bugzilla can integrate with Subversion as well. Team Foundation Server, and you can use Basecamp. Can you tell I like it? You can use Basecamp for issue tracking as well. The to-do lists are great for issue tracking. Now that you can put comments on them too, you can do some really good stuff with that. But really, I mean, it boils down to use a process that works for you. There's a lot of strategies and a lot of different things and agile and everything else. But take bits of them and just try them out and figure out what you're going to do and do a few things here and there. And as you go along, you come up with a process like this. And this isn't agile, but it's not agile. Like we set our milestones, we do sprint planning, we do sketching, we go through, we get some fixes, then we come to code goes into development. Some sprint planning might have to occur again. Then we've got our testing and our bug confirmation. How do we get over to staging? All our responsibilities are laid out, and there's a reporting structure built into that. That took a year to get to. And we tried a lot of trial and error to get there, and we were actually had extra challenges. We had 9 new staff every 4 months. because we were running co-op students that change out every 4 months. But we came, I mean, it took us a bit to get to that, but this is a process that worked for us. It isn't a process that necessarily works for anybody else. And any project, you'll do something different because it depends on the people and what you're building. And maybe that falls under tricks from lunchtime today. I don't know. Because it's a technique. It's a little bit dogmatic. I don't know. I was eating. although I did like that point of that presentation. But that's it for the presentation. I hope I left a few minutes for questions and stuff. This is how you can find me online, email, and then I'm a bunch of other places. There aren't many Jesse Rogers in the world, so although everyone takes Jay Rogers from me, but there aren't many in the world you can find me. And any questions and stuff like that, certainly welcome.
Jesse.
Yep. No. No, I've actually found the online stuff, like anything that's on the computer, does not replace that wall. That wall is a very visual thing that it's you can touch it. And for whatever reason, that works better. It's not the same. It's just the wall.
Have, sprinklers
it doesn't matter because that's only 2 weeks gone. Because after that, you gather them up and go, but we haven't had sprinklers go off. with the same project group, you need software. You can, because each post-it note, you get really complicated. You can have a post-it note color for each project. You can have break that down to task, and you can have different sections of the wall for different projects and their status. And the important thing is the progress board for the week of planning and the backlog, and you can break down the backlog. The one from ADRSS or PostRank, their wall is more for multiple initiatives that they're working on and where they go like that, but you just have to get more complicated with that. But, I would not recommend SharePoint. But it's not good when the software you have to use makes everybody angry. So, but I like the wall. So, any other? Yep.
I'll just throw out there in terms of project tracking. It's less good in terms of bug management specifically, but I am as an open source PHP application. It's really good for me in project management. It's quick to deploy, it's very easy to use, and it's free. So
I haven't used it, so.
Yeah, very few people have, but it's a very nice.
What is it called? It's probably on, if you do Wikipedia for project management software and they've got the chart, it's probably on that chart.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. It's a German.
Any other questions? I think it all. Full room. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.